So today we're going to look at these two people who aren't famous, as you see, but whose faith sparked a ripple that changed history. Amram and Jochebed, the parents of Moses. If we imagine stepping back into ancient Egypt, we wouldn't see them on a stage. Instead, we would see them in a simple hut by the Nile, living as slaves, barely getting by. But these two regular people held a faith so strong that from their family came three giants. Aaron, the first high priest, who pointed forward to Jesus as our true high priest. Miriam, Mary, their daughter, who led Israel in worship after God split the sea. And Moses, who brought Israel out of slavery and changed the world. How did three heroes spring from a life of hardship? The answer is through steady, trusting, and purposeful faith. Their faith wasn't just for big moments or for one event. It was woven into everyday sacrifice, courage, and surrender to God. Let us walk through their story, focusing on let us walk through their story, focusing on three key themes for us all, whether parent, grandparent, single, young, or mature in faith. So the message of today is for everyone. Solid faith that stands when everything screams, give up. Trusting faith that lets go of what we care about most, believing God can work beyond that we see. And influential faith that sets up the next generation, passing on truth and hope that lasts through any storm. All of this runs straight to the gospel. Because every act of rescue and deliverance in the Old Testament points to Jesus, our ultimate deliverer. The first point is the solid faith. Let us set the scene first. After Joseph saved his family during the famine, Israel's numbers soared in Egypt. And this scared Pharaoh, who clamped down hard, making the people slaves. When that didn't break them, Pharaoh did the unthinkable. He ordered the death of every newborn Hebrew boy. Picture Amram and Jochebed. They already had Miriam and Aaron, but now Jochebed was expecting again. In the middle of cruelty, government threats, and real danger, how does faith survive? What do you do when following God could cost you everything? These parents didn't give in. They hid Moses for 3 months, risking their lives and freedom. Hebrews 11:23 says, by faith, after his birth, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's command. Not just because Moses was special, but because their God was bigger than Pharaoh. That is the kind of faith we need. Our culture constantly pushes back against biblical truth. Correct? Laws, trends, and media often clash with Christian values. Families here face big trials, financial stress, relationship breakdown, health worries, and mental battles. The pressure to give up is real. Amram and Jochebed show us faith that stands firm, even under fire. Not with empty defiance, but with confidence in God's promises. True faith doesn't just wait around. It acts. The real faith acts, sometimes quietly and at risk, but always trusting that God is the real ruler. God is in control, not politicians or trends. Do you believe this? I believe it. So this is the solid faith they had. The second characteristic of their faith, that it was trusting faith. Their power was in surrender, in their that they submitted to God. When the risk of hiding Moses grew too much, Jochebed did something bold and counterintuitive. She remembered God's history, of course, the way he protected Noah's family during the flood by an ark. She thought, if God saved before with an ark, he can do it again, right? Hers wasn't a ship, just a small basket made from reeds and sealed with pitch, waterproof and ready. She put her baby in the basket, covered him, and let him go on the river, trusting God to care where she couldn't. That moment was a crossroad. Letting go, trusting, and putting everything into God's hands. And this wasn't just a thing. This was her precious baby. The Bible has three arcs: Noah's boat, Moses' basket, and the Ark of the Covenant. In each, a special covering stands between danger and safety. Noah's ark saves from the flood, Moses' basket from drowning, and the ark's lid, called the mercy seat, covers God's law, shielding Israel from punishment. The gospel shines here. That Hebrew word for covering points forward to Jesus. He is our mercy seat. Paul writes that Christ covers us, so God's wrath falls on him instead of us. We deserve punishment, but Jesus stands between us and judgment. Like Moses' parents, we can't save our loved ones, but we can trust in God who saves, pointing us toward ultimate rescue in Christ. As the basket bobbed through the reeds on the Nile, God stepped in. Pharaoh's daughter came to bathe and found Moses. Softening her heart against all odds, she rescued him, going against her father's harsh decree. Meanwhile, Miriam, watching wisely from the sidelines, saw her chance. "Do you want a Hebrew woman to nurse the baby?" Pharaoh's daughter agreed. So Moses was brought back to his mother, to Jochebed. with official protection and financial help. Wow! A mother gets paid for nursing her baby. And they get paid a lot. Pharaoh's daughter with the employer. Isn't God great? I am sure every mom here hoped that would have done for her to get paid for nursing her baby. Only God can work out stories like this. Every risk, prayer, and the crisis becomes a doorway for him to show he's stronger than anything against us, anything against you. What a trusting faith. We all have something precious, of course, our kids, our children, relationships, health, our work, our dreams. Sometimes, despite our best efforts, we can't protect anything. Can you? That's when we have to let go and trust God with what we care about most. Our skills and strength will not save the day. Only God can carry those hopes safely through the storms. Trust and faith is about active surrender. It says, God, it's yours. I hand over my family, my children, my ministry, my dreams, my future. When life spins out of control, trust brings peace and opens for miracles we would never predict. Have you this kind of trusting faith in God? Do you surrender? Do you trust in him? Do you believe that he is in control? He is the only one in control. Jesus is describing in Revelation chapter 1 that he is the king of the kings. He is the chief of all the kings and prime ministers and presidents and governments in the world. But this faith also was influential faith, building the next generation. For a few years, Moses was back with his mom. Back then, kids often stayed with their mothers for 4 or 5 or even 6 years before switching to palace life. Jacob knew her time was short. He would soon face Egyptian education, culture, and temptation. So what did she do? She used every minute to fill him with truths and stories about God. Moses learned about creation, Abraham's promise, and God's past faithfulness, everything that set Israel apart. She gave him a deep sense of identity, hope, and purpose. You are God's chosen. You belong to him. You don't belong to Pharaoh's daughter or the palace or Egypt or anything. You belong to the true God, to Yahweh. Here are 4 ways. I believe these ways that she used to build that foundation. Through daily life, kids see more than they hear. I guess they never hear, but they see and watch carefully. Jacob's faith was alive at home, praying, making wise choices, keeping God's way first. When dodgy entertainment or bad choices popped up, she didn't just talk. She acted and lived out her beliefs. And through prayer, she prayed for her kids constantly, not just in crisis, not just when, you know, finding the spouse or which college or yoni should they attend, or but every day the Bible reminds us, God forbid, that we should stop praying for those we love. Her consistent prayers became a shield for Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, of course, one that lasted a lifetime. Thirdly, through God's word. Though Moses wrote Exodus and the rest, it was his mom who taught him about Genesis, creation, God's plan, and the roots of Israel. Early years lay the groundwork. Kids need their hearts planted with truths, songs, and stories about God. Jacob didn't hand her kids off to Egyptian culture. She took charge, pouring in scripture day by day. She did exactly what Timothy's mom and the grandma did. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, I guess, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Also, in chapter 3, verse 15, Paul writes to Timothy, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, the Word of God, and through preparation for life. She didn't shy away from tough topics, temptation, difficulties, and the realities of living as a Hebrew. She prepared Moses to resist temptation, like Joseph did, and gave him a vision of God's faithfulness. She kept pointing to the promises. After 400 years, after four generations, God will act. Her goal wasn't just a survival, but a spiritual victory. In Acts 7, verse 22, Moses was taught all the wisdom of Egypt and was powerful in speech and action. But, keep reading, by faith, when Moses grew up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to suffer with God's people rather than enjoy fleeting pleasures. And so Christ's reward is worth more than Egypt's riches. This came directly from the influence and spiritual teaching in his early years. These days, many say, let kids decide for themselves. Christianity is often sidelined, faith laughed off, and kids swept up by culture. Jochebed's way was different. She poured in faith, prayer, truth, and set boundaries. It was hands-on and deliberate. If we want another generation following Christ across schools, workplace, and communities, we need to be intentional. Godly living, prayer, teaching scripture, and sharing a faith-filled vision. These are our rule and privilege. It's not about control, but about faithful stewardship for eternity. And never forget, this story, while about Amram and Jochebed, is really about Jesus. The Bible points to him in every story. Today's story echoes Jesus' own journey. Pharaoh's pursuit mirrors the dragon in Revelation 12. Please read at home, Revelation 12. And Herod's plot in Matthew, driving Joseph and Mary to Egypt and fulfilling God's promise, out of Egypt I called my son. Jesus is the greater Moses, delivering us from slavery to sin by his death and resurrection. So what does this mean for us, for you and for me? Transformation is God's work. By his grace, he changes and grows us. But it is our job to pass on faith, especially in times of change and uncertainty. Don't let generational drift win. Build family habits of prayer and worship. Are you facing hardship, disappointment, or feeling hidden and powerless? This story shatters the idea that only the famous or well-off matter to God. When God wants to move in the world, he started with people who are faithful, humble, and behind the scenes. He begins with a prayer in the dark, a faithful mom or dad, a small step of trust. Out of poverty and oppression, three giants arose: Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. But it was all built on the faith of parents who didn't quit, who kept trusting and kept sharing God's hope. Today, the challenge is real. Will you stand with solid faith, unmoved by hard times? Can you surrender what we treasure most, trusting God can do more than we ever could? Will we live out influential faith, being an example, praying for others, teaching God's word, and sharing the gospel? This isn't just all the story. It is a living call for families, mentors, teachers, preachers, ministers, pastors, mates, everyone. The difference in generations to come may hang on the face we show today. Australia needs moms and dads, grandparents, young and older folks, all living with the spirit of Amram and Jochebed. Faith not for show, but for eternity. God doesn't need perfect conditions, big money, or famous faces. He looks for faith, solid, trusting, influential faith. Every quiet hero matters in his plan. Every act of sacrifice, every prayer, every moment spent pointing someone to God, he sees it, honors it, and multiplies it. Let us commit ourselves again, living a faith anchored in Jesus, powered by the Spirit, ready to take risks and passing it on to those around us. The world may not see, but God does. Nothing we give in faith is ever wasted. Press on with hope in the heart, steady hands, and lives soaked in the gospel. Like Amram and Jochebed, our role might be bigger in God's story than we ever imagined. The God who rescued Moses through the face of humble parents still brings hope, rescue, and a new life through every believer willing to trust, surrender, and influence for his glory. Before I pray, I found an article. A pastor shared this article. It's a long article on April 9, 2016, under the title, How Christian Parents Produce Backslidden children. I will read his observations. Listen carefully of these observations. Many Christian parents often do not emotionally connect with their children. Many Christian parents don't intentionally pray with their families as a habit in their households. Many Christian parents don't have an intentional approach to biblically catechize their children. Many parents allow their children to miss church on Sundays so they can participate in team sports. Many parents would rather stay home if their spouses are working or unable to attend Sunday services. Many Christian parents live a compromised life at home. Many Christian parents don't properly supervise their children. Many Christian parents talk bad about their churches or church leadership in front of their children at home. Many fathers show more enthusiasm for sports than for seeking God. Many Christian parents have a superficial understanding of God and their faith. Many children rarely see their parents seeking God earnestly and consistently. Many parents depend too much on their church's Sunday school or youth group to mature their children in the faith. Many Christian parents consistently miss church for any and all reasons. Many Christian parents don't spend quality time with their children. Many Christian parents jump from church to church. Many Christian parents constantly nag their children. Many Christian parents are too legalistic or religious with their children. God, our strong deliverer, thank you for the example of Amram and Jochebed, whose face shows your power at work. Forgive us when we waver. Give us courage and wisdom to trust you, to shape generations, and to reflect your love. Fill us with joy in Christ, and help our families shine your light. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.